T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the big news of the day around the NFL and in Houston that seems to go hand in hand these days all the time. The Texans keep opening up shows for NFL in a bad way, and this time the Arizona Cardinals, they have given J.J. Watt, the best player in franchise history, a 2-year, $31 million deal. It includes $23 million guaranteed. J.J. Watt will go to the Arizona Cardinals along with DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, it is not a dream, Houston. It is happening. Wade, what was your initial reaction when you saw that news?
Hysterical laughter.
It really was.
And it was from the depths of my being, just uncontrolled laughter, because it's one of those situations where you got to laugh, not to cry. And it's not laughing at the situation, you know, because, you know, the place that JJ ended up, it's the fact that he left this organization because of all the decisions that were made that led up to it, to where he said, I have to ask for a way out. And so you just say, oh, the hits just keep on coming. The more content that just keeps showing itself to us, to people in sports that cover the game, period. Because the fact that he ends up in Arizona with DeAndre Hopkins, back with Vance Joseph, people that were jettisoned out of this organization and went on to have success elsewhere. Now JJ joins up with the Arizona Cardinals, and they're going to be a playoff team this year. And I think they're going to add additional pieces to their roster so that they can compete with the big boys in the NFC. And there's a lot of big boys in the NFC that they're going to have to contend with. But I don't see how there's a way possible that J.J. Watt is not part of a playoff team this year. And it looks like to me that the Arizona Cardinals have a plan. They're building around Kyler Murray and his rookie deal. They gave J.J. Watt a 2-year contract that's going to allow him to, you know, make his $15 million a year. And Kyler Murray's on his rookie deal, so it's not going to hurt them in that regard. And as soon as Kyler has to get paid, J.J. Watt will be coming off the book. That's good. That's a good way to manage your roster and manage the salary cap by Steve Kelm from the Arizona Cardinals. And so they're looking like they're trying to win now, and I ain't mad at it. I'm happy to see that J.J. and DeAndre Hopkins are back together again, because they should have never been broken apart.
No, there's a lot of disappointment from, I think, Texans fan standpoint. And one to me here is, and I think in the last segment earlier in the show, I blame Nick Caserio, and you're right. This is more than Nick, and it has always been more than Nick. It's obviously Nick and Jack, but it's more than Nick and Jack. This is Kyle McNair as well. I think a real disappointment, now that we're seeing the numbers of what he got, 23 guaranteed, more than $15 million per on the books, then seeing reports last week that he had been offered up to $16 million per. Well, 17 is what he was going to get from the Texans, and that was the big reason why many people said it was untradeable. Nobody was going to trade for J.J. Watt with that contract. Well, we're seeing teams were willing to pay for him up into that range, and that he would have been able to restructure with teams to a respectable rate. I think it's disappointing that the Texans did not explore getting picks or a pick out of J.J. Watt to get something. I understand how much he's meant to this city, but I think you could have done both by letting J.J. go where he may want to go and you then getting picks because this team sorely, sorely needs draft help.
From the analytical approach of it and from the just straight business, hey, get assets and get value in return for whatever you have in your building, I completely agree with you. But the thing that I think people don't think about and realize sometimes is this: you're dealing with people and you're dealing with relationships. There's been plenty of organizations over the years that will throw $1 million to a player that fell short from an incentive by, you know, half a game or something like that. So they throw him a couple $1 million at the end, or a guy that's getting ready to retire, they go ahead and guarantee his contract and then cut him or something to that effect because of what they did for the organization, what they meant to the organization, and they do a solid by him. To me, this is what the Texans did for J.J. Watt, is they did a solid by him and say, hey, you know what? We're going to allow you to go out and do and go wherever you want to go and not have us have to try to put together a list of teams that you might want, because J.J. might not have known exactly where he wanted to go when he got released. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe he wanted to just go out there and be recruited like you were when you're in high school. You take all your visits and you talk to different organizations and say, hey, who can put together the best package for me and it's the best fit for what I want to do? And so you might limit those options if you approach it the analytical way. Instead, he went into the McNair's home, I believe is what he said, and he said, hey, I would like to be released. They agreed. They mutually agreed to part ways. Now he can go out and find where he wants to go. It's just ironic as hell that he ends up in Arizona, of all places, with DeAndre Hopkins, and that's where he's going to put his toe in the water to try to win a Super Bowl, and I'm here to see it.
All right, yeah. So J.J. Watt, 23 guaranteed. He is an Arizona card.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, number two, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner, who's on his honeymoon. Nick Caserio and Jack used to be. We're making moves today. The Texans expected to keep the trio of restricted free agents, Wade, P.J. Hall, who came over last year in a trade with the Raiders, A.J. Moore, the safety who was in and out of the lineup, but really, really good at special teams, and then old touchdown Pharaoh Brown, the tight end. They look to keep those three free agents. Your thoughts on that?
So my first thought is you giving credit for football decisions to Jack Easterby.
They're a package deal.
For the fact that they decided to keep Pharaoh Brown and to keep P.J. Hall and to keep A.J. Moore, which are all moves that I agree with that make a lot of sense.
You like them all?
I like all three of those moves because you're getting guys that played at a high level for what you were paying them. You're talking about getting value out of guys. Pharaoh Brown arguably was the best tight end on the roster. He definitely had the right temperament. Every time I saw him show up on tape or watch the game live, he played the game like that Marshawn Lynch mentality. I'm just going to run through somebody's face over and over and over and over again. I love that about football players. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You watch the Super Bowl. You watch why did the Buccaneers dominate the Kansas City Chiefs, because they physically imposed their will on them on the offensive and defensive line. Bill O'Brien has that mentality, so I like that. P.J. Hall played well when he was out there. He got hurt.
Bill O'Brien's best move last year.
That was a legit move right there. They got a guy that was drafted pretty high. I believe he was a high second round pick
out of Sam Houston State.
Local kid, brought him in here for a very, very low rate, and he played well while he had his opportunities to play. But he got hurt. But now you get him as a restricted free agent. That's chump change in the grand scheme of things. And so I like all three of those moves. I'm going to give credit to those moves for Nick Caserio, but I think just about every GM would have made those moves. So it's not like it's a big deal. But I'm not going to give credit to Jack Easterby. We got to stop that show. These are football decisions.
Yep.
And football decisions, they're collaborative over there. But
Jack never makes football decisions.
I mean, hopefully not anymore. Okay. Hopefully not anymore.
He won't be involved in that Deshaun thing. All right, so those three come back. I'm with you. I do like A.J. Moore. I think you can find a place. I think Pharaoh Brown could be better if he was used properly. Now, I don't know what offense they're running, so that has nothing to do with anything. But, yeah, P.J. Hall, like I said, the best – this may be sad, but the best move that Bill O'Brien made all last year, he was really good to the towards Peck. So.
You don't like the Brandon Cooks deal? I would say Brandon Cooks brought more production to the roster than
more
PJ
production.
Hall.
Yeah, I get maybe. That's a
big, I think they only paid like $8 million for Brandon Cooks.
And yeah, because the Rams 1,000 yards.
Yeah, yeah. I would say Brandon Cooks was the top.
Brandon Cooks.
But PJ Hall was definitely a good move by the Texans.
It was just shrewd. Like, it was. Yeah. Brandon Cooks was.
They made some shrewd moves over the years. Yeah. They traded away Martinez Rankin, the guy that was going to get cut, and they got him for Carlos Hyde. And Carlos Hyde ran for 1,000 yards. My problem is they just didn't keep him.
Well, hey, Carlos also didn't
follow through. Then you don't need David Jones.
Carlos also didn't want to be here because he went to Seattle for less money.
Come on, bro.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right, the Houston Rockets continue to get their asses kicked. They've lost now 11 straight.
Yeah, it's not good.
It is not good at all. I mean, blowouts, especially to Memphis. That was tough to watch. But the other news that I think is even bigger than this 11-game slide, Wade, is this is coming out. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, Houston Rockets guard, Victor Oladipo, Victor Oladipo recently turned down a 2-year, $45.2 million contract extension, the most the franchise could offer him. So Victor Oladipo, the guy that you got back in the trade where you felt like, all right, this is the most guaranteed thing we know we're going to get out of the James Harden trade, doesn't want to stay with you long term. That really, to me, makes the trade drop in a big way when we hear that Victor Oladipo is turning down money.
Well, from Oladipo's perspective, he doesn't want to give away any flexibility he has personally.
I understand it.
And so if he was to sign this extension, I don't believe that the Rockets are trying to hold on to Oladipo for a very long time. I think they're going to use him as a trade piece to get better going forward. And so now he doesn't really have any control over where he gets traded again. He didn't really want to get traded to the Rockets anyway, so it doesn't surprise me one bit that he didn't sign the extension. The Rockets do still have some opportunities to work some things out with him in the future, but I think he's a trade piece going forward. But the Rockets are tough to watch right now, man. You lose 11 straight, and they're playing Cleveland tonight, I believe. There's no game that I'm looking at where I say, okay, they got a chance to win that one. They just look really bad, and it makes me nervous that that's what you're going to get out of the Texans after they trade Deshaun Watson. You traded James Harden. Is that what we're going to get out of the Texans? You got to hope that – I think if they do the right thing and trade him on the deadline and they get back that haul of picks and then they can bring in a guy like Sam Darnold or Tua Tagovailoa to play quarterback here in Houston going forward, now you can be somewhat competitive and you're not running out looking like the Rockets have looked over the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's been rough. Hopefully they don't lose 12 in a row. 17 is the franchise record. They're itching closer and closer to that. One thing that many people feel like can be a real issue for the Texans in this entire Deshaun Watson saga. One major thing that I don't think is a real issue that many people believe it is. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Wade Smith in. Clint Sterner is on his honeymoon. He is out. Wade will be in all week. Wade, one of the big things with Deshaun Watson, I know JJ is going, he is the story of the day, but the big story is the Deshaun Watson watch and the standoff. The standoff between Deshaun and the Texans. Where is this going to go? One thing that I think a lot of people have concern about that I think they're overvaluing, and that is Deshaun Watson has this no-trade clause. Oh, this no-trade clause is a thing that could get in trouble. This extra piece of power that he has, and it is an extra piece of power, but I don't think that the no-trade clause thing is going to be that big of a deal, because when you look at the realistic teams that could trade for Deshaun Watson, and I'll be honest with you, when you just look at all the teams in the NFL, when you stack them up, especially when you stack them up in the eye and the perception of Deshaun Watson, what is a worse situation that he could go to in terms of his relationship with the ownership, his relationship with the front office, the coach they have? I hate to say this, but I think if there was a power rankings of head coaches in this league, I think David Culley would be 32. So I don't know a better coach, and you start looking at this roster now.
Yeah.
Woo, Lord. I mean, I don't know if there is a worse roster in the league. There isn't a situation in which I'd see Deshaun have a deal on the table, especially the realistic teams that he could go to, have a deal on the table where Deshaun says, you know what, I'm going to invoke my no-trade clause, and I'm going to sit down here until and lose this contract, this money that I'm supposed to make this year, this potential $20 million I'm supposed to make this year, and not go to the Jets or not go to Carolina. I don't think the no-trade clause is that big of a deal because I don't know a situation where Deshaun would say no to.
So the one situation where I could see that Deshaun would say or would invoke his no-trade clause is if there were multiple teams that had legitimate deals on the table. Let's say, for example, let's say that you have the Jets and the Dolphins and then maybe the Detroit Lions. They all three have deals on the table. And the Texans come to Deshaun and say, hey, the best deal for us is this deal with the Detroit Lions. But, of course, Deshaun would know, well, the Jets and the Dolphins also made competitive offers as well. I might invoke my no-trade clause at that moment because I would much rather go to a preferred destination of New York or Miami than I would to go to Detroit. And even in that scenario, like Detroit being one of the teams that's in play doesn't seem very realistic to me. But your prevailing point and what you started us off with is I don't see the no-trade clause coming into play. I feel like Deshaun wants to be out of the organization. He doesn't want to be out of the city. He doesn't want to be off of the fans. He wants to be out of the organization. That is his beef with upper management. And so because of that, he's going to be willing to go wherever. But if there was a scenario where one of his preferred places is on the table and they want to send him somewhere else, that would be the time where he would say, I'm going to use my no-trade clause. You can trade me to these other places, but I don't want to go to hypothetical place Z. But that place really doesn't exist because there's not like there's organizations out there that have made the decisions that have been made like here in Houston over the past couple of years. This is an anomaly. You've never seen anything go down like this ever in the history of the league. And so this is a scenario I don't think that the no-trade clause is going to come into play.
No, as we're sitting here, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterners, we're talking about the no-trade clause has become a big deal of, all right, this is something that Deshaun can implement. And he could, but like I've heard Sean and Seth discuss this about, all right, he's not going to a great situation. Denver's not a great situation that's ready to win right now. Carolina's not a great situation that's ready to win right now. Any of those. And I would agree. But damn, there's not a worse situation in the NFL for Deshaun than what he's in right now. And he would get paid all his money going to those places. There's not any sitting out to lose the potential 10, 20 million, however it would work out, to pay in fines if he went somewhere. I can't think of a team where even if it was two teams saddled up and they get all the way down to the midnight hour and the Texans say, look, we got Carolina and the Jets, or we got Carolina and the Dolphins, and I know your preferred destination is the Dolphins, but we're going to only make the deal with Carolina, or we're not going to make the deal. I think at the end of it, Deshaun and David Mulligetta would say, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, let me get on up out of here and let me make the move. Like, I think they would use it as much leverage as possible. But, man, I just can't see him just saying, nah, I'm not going to go to the Broncos. I'm not going to go to the said team. No, I think he wants to get playing and get out of this organization, as you said, which I couldn't see him stopping him from going anywhere.
And everything has to fit. You got to look at it like this. The Texans, when they make this deal, they're going to have to make sure they get back as much as they can in value as possible. And the teams and organizations that have the ability to do that, they make a lot of sense from Deshaun Watson's point of view. Some people will say, well, why would he want to go to Jacksonville? Like, Jacksonville is the armpit of the NFL. Jacksonville has a coach that I think Deshaun would believe in. I think they have a bunch of assets, even though they have to give up a bunch of assets to get Deshaun Watson. But they still have a boatload of money, and they still have a boatload of assets because they've accumulated so many assets over the past few years that they could build something. They have a lot of young talent on that roster, from the receiving core, from the offensive line, from the running back position. A lot of guys on the roster that's not getting paid a lot of money, and so you would be able to add to it. So Jacksonville, New York, Miami, Carolina, these places would be good, realistic places that the Texans would want to trade with, but at the same time, these are good, realistic places that Deshaun would want to go.
All right, yeah, I'm with that. 713-572-4610, you can text in, call in. Coming up here at about 3:35 in about 10 minutes, you don't want to miss this, Ross Tucker, ourradio.com NFL insider, former NFL offensive lineman and a guy who's been really outspoken about J.J. Watt. He is going to join us coming up soon. Coming up in about 10 minutes, so you do not want to miss that.
Fellas, I just came across something. You got to talk about this.
What's going on?
Okay. Look, it's big. It's not breaking news big. But, so we know JJ's all about his brand, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's worn 99 his entire career as a Texan, correct?
Of course.
That's about to come to an end. The Arizona Cardinals have the number 99 retired.
Shut up.
What?
Yeah. I didn't even know they had any numbers retired, but apparently the Cardinals have number 99 retired.
Well, hell is?
Who is it? Who is number 99?
The greatness that is Marshall Goldberg.
Who?
Goldberg, like the wrestler?
Yeah.
Let me look this up. All right, I got it. Marshall Goldberg.
What number is JJ going to wear, man?
I pulled it up on Wikipedia, and he's wearing number 42.
Okay. Tell us about Mr. Goldberg.
Pitt. Well, first, his nickname is Biggie.
Biggie?
Yes.
Or Big E?
Biggie. Biggie. B-I-G-G-I-E.
Okay. Biggie. Okay.
Big Biggie. Yes. He played for the Chicago Cardinals for 8 years.
Wait a minute. Chicago Cardinals? You're talking about like in the 20s or something, right?
I'm sorry. He died at 88 years old in 2006. He was born in 1917. He played from 1939 to 1948.
Wow.
He did have an interruption to go to the war, so that's why he lost
respect.
What a saint.
Respect. I think they're going to unretire that number. I think they might need to make a phone call to his descendants and say, hey, we got to unretire this number for 99.
No, this is ridiculous. There's a daughter named Ellen. I wonder if she's alive. Tyler, can you get Ellen?
I'm going to try.
Try to
sure.
get Ellen, because if they go to the family,
right?
Because JJ's got to wear 99. And I apologize. All right. I don't know the history of Marshall Biggie Goldberg. But I believe that J.J. Watt, he's not even in the Hall of Fame. He's in the National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame, so good for that. But
That's legit.
I think J.J. should be allowed to wear that number out of that. I'm sorry, he's got to come down with that.
Well, what number does J.J. take if he is not allowed
to get
number 99?
No, I don't think it's 99. Not an option.
What do you mean
it's
not an
99.
Option?
He's taking
sometimes
99.
Sometimes you got to be malleable. You got to be able to adapt to your situation.
That had to be a part of the deal.
I think you should be 66. Just flip it.
66,
That's a
right guard's number if ever I saw one.
And not a good
right
one.
Guard. Period. Not even a left guard. That's a right
doesn't
guard.
Doesn't JJ's logo incorporate the 9
he's
and the 9?
He's got to wear 99.
What if he, took it back to the college defensive lineman and became number 9?
He's got 775 receiving
yards.
Holler
at Roger Goodell and say, I'm going to pay the fine. I'll pay you 100 racks before the season starts. 250,000, whatever. You could give me this exception. Give me number 9, and I'm going to play like that, and I'm going to roll up my jersey to let my abs show out like he's Latimer in the program. I think could pull that off. Number 9.
This is ridiculous.
What is he going to do?
All right. This is just Marshall.
Sports Radio 610. Houston Texans breaking news.
Oh, guess what, folks? Per Aaron Wilson, Texans released veteran quarterback Josh McCown. Per league sources, McCown interviewed for the Texans and is expected to pursue career in coaching. So Josh McCown is not, and right now the Texans have zero quarterbacks.
There's no quarterback.
They have a quarterback on the roster. They do have a quarterback on the roster. Deshaun Watson is on the roster.
They have zero quarterbacks that are willing to play on their roster.
Well, that's...
Holy mother of God.
Good Lord have mercy.
Go back to the old school wing T, baby.
That's right, baby. Brandon Cooks is your starting quarterback if the season started today. Once again, Josh McCown is no longer the quarterback, no longer a quarterback for the Houston Texans. He is retiring.
So we'll get back to Josh McCown, but somebody on the text line said something that makes a lot of sense. JJ will change his number to 92 to honor Reggie White. That was from 0000 on the text line. That's so that's touching. Somebody's business line calling in. That makes a lot of sense.
That's touching. He'll be 99.
JJ will be 92 to honor Reggie White. I can respect
that's
that.
That's nice. He'll be 99 because Ellen, Biggie's daughter, will figure this out and understand that JJ Watt plays for the Arizona Cardinals and needs to be number 99. She'll figure this out. Thank you, Marshall Goldberg, for all of your service, but your number's getting worn again. All right, coming up next, we continue the story of the day, the news of the day. JJ Watt is going to Arizona. Ross Tucker, he is someone who he said he hopes that JJ gets out of Houston. We'll hear from him coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, if you're just joining us, the Texans have made a move according to Aaron Wilson. Texans released veteran quarterback Josh McCown. Per league sources, McCown interviewed with the Texans and is expected to pursue a career in coaching. He later also said one major priority for Josh McCown is devoting time to family to watch his sons play high school football. He will make any future decisions on coaching with that in mind. Bright future ahead of McCown in coaching when he wants to pursue that avenue. I just expected he would be on this staff next year and be ready to be Jack's next choice to be the head coach. But
hold on, so.
Oh, boy. I hope this wasn't a part of the plan for the Texans. By the way, the Texans don't have a single quarterback on their roster who wants to play for them. They have one quarterback.
Well, I will say this. A.J. McCarron, he's still under contract for another 2 weeks. So there is still one guy left. But he will be gone. He might be the starting quarterback next year. According to Clint Sterner, I heard the other day that Clint said that that's the guy. A.J. McCarron, he's the future for the time being. I don't know about that, Clint. I didn't
playing
know.
These little piddly-ass games.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the announcement wasn't made that Josh McCown has been released and he's officially joined the coaching staff at position X or Y. That's what I expected, not hearing from Aaron Wilson that his priority is devoting time to his family because I completely understand that sentiment, but that means that his development as a future head coach or coach in NFL is going to be delayed by a couple of years.
Because he's never coached.
He doesn't need to develop weight. He's already maybe ready to be a head coach.
This is interesting. we'll continue with that, but joining the show now to make the show a little bit better, a little bit more fun, is OurRadio.com NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and bet the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Check out Ross's daily betting podcast, BetQL Daily, live every weekday from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So, Ross, this is the next kick in the pants to Texans fans. J.J. Watt is now an Arizona Cardinal, of course, being there with DeAndre Hopkins. How surprised are you that's where he went? Because a lot of people thought the Packers seemed to be the destination that made sense.
I was surprised because you just hadn't heard them mentioned. You know, I mean, you'd heard the Browns, the Bills, the Packers. It seems like the Arizona Cardinals came out of nowhere. Now, I will say this. I believe that Steve Keim, the general manager, and certainly Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach, realize This is a critical year for those two guys. You know, Keim has been able to hire multiple head coaches. Steve Wilks was a disaster. Now he's going into year three with Kingsbury. They haven't made the playoffs. Kingsbury's going into year three. You know, you really don't get a year four in the NFL unless you make the playoffs. I mean, nobody goes 4 years as a head, gets a fourth year as a head coach when they haven't made the playoffs the first three. It's just very unlikely, very rare. So I think this is a move where the Cardinals were willing to make a much more significant financial commitment to JJ with the second year having whatever it is, $7 million guaranteed or whatever it is, right, where he's basically going to get 2 years. I just don't think other teams were really willing to do that at this stage of his career with his injury history. And this is what happens. You know, teams like the Bears, teams like the Cardinals, when you have a GM and a head coach that know it's kind of make or break year for them, they're going to give bigger commitments. They're going to be more willing to trade picks, stuff like that, to get players for this year.
So, Ross, if I'm hearing you right, what I'm getting from you is this was less of a, hey, this is a place I want to go to try to win a championship, is more of a money move for JJ. Like, hey, I'm cashing in. This is the place that I can go and get paid $15 million a year where I wouldn't have gotten that elsewhere.
Yeah, so I think JJ, and I give him a lot of credit for this, I think he's a smart guy. And I think the ring chasing thing is a little bit of a myth, right? I mean, so let's say he signed, like if you look at the, and we talk about this on Bet Q Daily or the Even Money podcast, if you look at the odds for the Bills or the Packers or even the Bucks to win the Super Bowl again, they're not real good. I mean, like, it can only be one out of the 32. And by the way, the Cardinals have a shot. Now, I don't think the Cardinals have as good a shot as the other teams we referenced, but the Cardinals have a shot. I think JJ is smart enough to know, yeah, I could sign with the Packers. But Aaron Rodgers has been to exactly one Super Bowl. One. He's been there. He's only even gotten there one time. So this idea that you're going to pick this team, the Bills or the Packers, the Browns, whoever it is, and then all of a sudden because of that, they're going to go to the Super Bowl and win it, the odds of that are really, really small. I think he realized, I got to go. What I know for sure is I will get the most money if I go to the Arizona Cardinals. And by the way, it's lovely there. It's warm. And they have a chance. You know, maybe not as good of a chance as the Packers or the Bills to go to the Super Bowl, but they have a chance. Not like he's going to a terrible team. He's going to a team that could conceivably have a path to the Super Bowl. I don't blame him at all. I would do the exact same thing that he did. You know, this whole idea of, oh, you go to the Bucs and win the Super Bowl. Well, it's really hard to win back-to-back. So you can go to the Bucs, and then if they lose in the playoffs, okay, well, was that worth it to you? Because you just turned out a lot more money that you knew you would get.
Mm. Ross Tucker, our radio.com NFL insider, is with us. And Ross, the Texans front office over the last 18 months, deservedly so, has been crushed for a lot of the moves that they have made, or the lack thereof moves they have made. And there are reports from Diana Rossini of ESPN that JJ was getting offers from like for about $16 million, and we see here he got 23 guaranteed, 2 years, $31 million. When you see this contract and the money he got, do you think the Texans at all maybe made a mistake of not really exploring his trade market to try to get additional picks or a pick for JJ Watt, especially how terrible they are in terms of the amount of draft picks they have ready for this draft?
I think they probably did explore it. I don't think there would have been a great market for it. I think it would have been a really low pick because it was only 1 year, $17.5 million. And when you're adding the draft pick compensation, that just makes the financial compensation even more, right? Like, so when teams look at it, they look at it like, okay, how much money and draft choice? And they kind of combine those, right? So, like, if you trade for JJ, well, let's just say you trade a sixth-round pick. It's almost like in the mind of the team, you're paying the guy like $19.5 million for 1 year, if that makes sense. Whereas any of these teams just signing them like the Cardinals, they don't have to give up any draft picks. So the only part of it is the financial commitment. And I think the Texans have had so much negative publicity that the last thing they wanted was for J.J. Watt to go public against them with his frustration that they traded him to some team he didn't want to go to or whatever, when he's been the face of the franchise for so long for some low draft pick. I think they just did the equation in their mind that that wouldn't be worth it to them. You know, whatever the draft pick was wouldn't be worth the potential negative ramifications if they could have gotten a draft pick at all. I mean, I still think whichever team, and maybe the Arizona Cardinals would have given a seventh round pick to get JJ for 1 year and $17.5 million. I don't know.
Speaking of faces of the franchise, Deshaun Watson had a recent meeting with David Culley, head coach of the Houston Texans, and it was a virtual meeting conversation they had, and he reiterated that he did not want to play for the Houston Texans this year. How do you feel like this saga ends? Is April 29th the deadline in your eyes, the way I see it, for a deal to get done? And how do you – the Texans are on their side saying they're not looking to trade him at all. He's our quarterback. And, of course, Deshaun does not want to be here. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, so they're going to trade him. I'd be shocked if they didn't. Like, when I see – I feel like over the years, Wade, I feel like I now speak fluently in insider tweets and insider comments. When I see Ian Rappaport say, Texans aren't going to trade him for a long time, if at all – that means they're trading him. And that means they're saying for a long time, because they're trying to keep leverage for not only free agency in the draft, but at least the perception that they would keep him after that. I don't believe that for a second. I think that that's just something they put out there so that teams don't think that they have a deadline in mind. But I believe Deshaun Watson will be traded by the first night of the NFL draft. I think, look, if they weren't going to trade him, it would be, nope, we're never trading him. Once Ian Rappaport comes out and says, they're probably not going to trade him, but if they do, it won't be for a while. Yeah, that just means they are going to trade him, and it won't be a while. It'll be sooner than you think, and it'll be the draft.
And Ross, real quick, I know a lot of people have issues with potentially – there are some people have issues with potentially Deshaun flexing his power in the way he has. I know you're saying you think they will trade him. Do you think they should? Do you think that is the move that the Texans should make, or do you think the Texans should hold strong and say, hey, we're holding you to the contract you signed?
Yeah, I think they should trade him. Now, I will tell you, as a former player who got cut, I don't know, four times and traded once and IR once and whatever, PUP, if there was a list you could be on, I was on it. As a former player in that situation, I love seeing the players kind of have the hammer on the teams. I mean, I never had the hammer on the team. The team had the hammer on me, and they used it a lot. So I love seeing a player actually been able to have the power. As a fan slash member of the media, not a big fan of it, because I like that all of the people in Houston that love Deshaun Watson, I wish they could watch the next 10 years of his career. I wish all the money they spent on those Deshaun Watson jerseys, they didn't have to. Look, I live outside of Philly. My buddy was just saying to me, what am I going to do with these two Wentz jerseys I got my kids? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I get it. People in Philadelphia thought Wentz would be there for 20 years. So I totally understand it. But in this particular case, he doesn't want to be there. And I don't think there's anything they can say to convince him to be there. I don't see how it benefits the franchise or the city to just drag this thing out, you know, take it to training camp. And look, he could say he's got a tight hamstring or a bad back. Then you can't even find him. Why make it ugly? I don't see how it benefits the organization to make it ugly. I think at this point, they'll be able to get a king's ransom for him. and they should. They have a new GM. They have kind of a new owner. They have a new Easterby, whatever he is. And it's kind of time to turn the page and start over with the King's ransom that you get for Deshaun Watson.
Ross, before you get out of here, man, last thing I got for you is J.J. Watt is out there in Arizona now. He's joining up with Hassan Reddick, and if they re-sign him, of course, and then Chandler Jones. Do they become the best defensive line in the NFC West? Of course, you got the 49ers. They'll be back at full strength. You're a former offensive lineman, so you know what it's like to go against some goons over there on the other side of the ball. How do they compare and stack up with the NFC West, and then just period as a pass rushing group going forward?
Well, obviously they'll be very good. I guess because Chandler was injured and missed almost the whole year, and because JJ's age and injury history, I can't put them ahead of like the Niners with Nick Bosa coming back. Although D Ford's had his issues as well, and even the Rams. I mean, with Aaron Donald, and if they bring back Leonard Floyd, I think they're all kind of about in the same spot. It's weird, though. I mean, a lot of these guys we're talking about, they're all Chandler Jones and Bosa, a lot of guys coming off injury, so it's kind of hard to know what to expect. I'll just go with the younger guys in San Fran and L.A. over maybe the older guys in Arizona. But they're all, I mean, you could put them in a hat, Wade, and pick them out. They're all going to be very, very good. But the Hassan Reddick thing is fascinating, too, because does that mean you have J.J. rushing inside? I'll be very curious to see how it ends up working out in Arizona.
All right, that's Ross Tucker. We thank you so much for all of your input and your Jack Easterby comment that really did it all for all of us, because I just want to keep playing that and saying whatever he is. That was fantastic.
See you guys.
We enjoy you. All right, that was Radio.com NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and bet the books. Download BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Check out Ross's daily betting podcast, BetQL Daily. It's live every weekday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Zone right here on the radio.com app. And if you want to rewind that, listen to that interview again, you can do that on the radio.com app moving forward. So it's good to hear. I wonder how many ex-players find that. You're an ex-player, real quick before we get up out of here. You're an ex-player who is in media now. Do you share the same feeling that Ross did, that, you know, as a player, he loves it? What kind of is a media member he doesn't?
Well, I don't share that feeling, no. I look at it from the fan perspective, and I feel for them, and I understand how they feel when you purchase items and you invest in an organization, you invest in certain jerseys of certain players, and they get sent away or they ask to leave, and I don't like that part of it. You don't ever like a person to waste their money, so I get that sentiment. But from the media's perspective, you're supposed to be unbiased and not really care. You know what I mean? You're just reporting the news. You're just giving your opinion on what goes on and so on and so forth. But out from a media perspective, I don't think you should feel any type of way towards players doing whatever they do, unless it's breaking the law or something like that. Hey, them exercising their leverage in a situation is something that has been done by organizations since the beginning. So guys flexing them back, I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
The Texans have made a move at quarterback. They have released veteran Josh McCown, but that's not the big news. The other news is what he's going to do next. What we thought it was, it may not be. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.